another school shooting, this time here in South Florida, and another conversation about protecting our children. Hello and welcome to Sundial. I'm Luis Hernandez. 17 dead, more than a dozen injured, and once again, we're left searching for answers to another mass shooting on a school campus. The suspect is in custody, but little is known about his motive. On social media, people are angry about why nothing is being done to stop this from happening again and again. Today on Sundial, we'll get the latest news from Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland in the aftermath of the shooting. But we'll also ask the question, what can you, me, all of us do to end these senseless tragedies? And we want to hear from you. Give us a call, 305-995-1800, or find us on social media, Twitter, at WLRN Sundial, Facebook, also, at WLRN Sundial. Sundial is next. First, the news. Hello and welcome to Sundial. This is a special program from Florida Public Radio and a presentation of WLRN Public Media in Miami. And today we want to welcome our sister stations, WJCT in Jacksonville, WUSF in Tampa, WQCS in Fort Pierce, WGCU in Fort Myers, and WUFT in Gainesville. Well, today we're going to look back on the aftermath of the school shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. We're going to talk with lawmakers and ask why there's another school shooting and what, if anything, they're planning to do about it. We're going to hear from mental health experts on how to help families and educators after a tragedy like this. And we want to hear from you. After another mass shooting, what should we be doing or talking about today? If you've worked in education, what can you tell us about the training that you have to undergo to prepare for a scenario like this? If you're a mental health specialist, what sort of help do we need to get to these kids, their families, and to school workers? What can we do to make our schools safer? Give us a call now. The number is 305-995-1800. That's 305-995-1800. You can also comment, find us on Facebook, WLRN Sundial, or on Twitter, at WLRN Sundial. You can also text us the word Sundial to 63735. All right, I want to turn things over now to WLRN reporter Sammy Mack, who is joining us. Sammy, where are you at?
I am right now at the Broward Health Medical Center, which is one of the two hospitals in the Broward Health Network where victims were sent after the shooting. And it's been pretty quiet out here today.
All right. What's the latest that you can give us, though? And this is one of the two centers, by the way, one of the two health centers where victims were being taken to.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. And we haven't really gotten any updates on specifics about the patients themselves. There's been kind of a lot of quietness around that. And a lot of the information is actually coming through the Broward Sheriff's Office. However, what I can say is later, hopefully I'll be talking to some of the doctors and first responders who were here. And people around the hospital, even just kind of spending time hanging out here, have been talking about this. This is a thing that you hear on the lips of everyone sort of going in and out, whether or not they have anything to do with the care of the patients or the patients themselves, even. This is the thing that this community is talking about and worried about.
All right. Sammy Mack, I apologize. We're getting a really bad connection from you. We're going to see if we can't fix that. So I'm going to drop you real quick, and we'll see if we can't get that line fixed up. I've got a number of guests that I'm also waiting to get on air, but I'm going to go to the phones right now. Again, the number is 305-995-1800. If you can't get through, you can always text us your comments or questions. Again, text the word Sundial to 63735 or find us on Facebook, again, at WLRN Sundial, or Twitter, again, at WLRN Sundial. Let me go to the phones first real quick. And I've got a caller here on line one, Matthew. Go ahead, Matthew.
Hi, Luis.
Yeah, Matthew. So, Matthew, by the way, I apologize because I'm having some technical issues. I can't see where you're calling from.
Sure. I'm from Pembroke Pines.
Okay. Go ahead.
And actually a little background. So I'm a military veteran. My wife and my dad are both high school teachers in Broward County. My wife is in Broward and my dad is in Boca. And my dad actually lives right across the street from this high school. But my point of my question is that Sheriff Israel said that the shooter, I'm not going to mention his name, the shooter, he was a former student who was expelled for disciplinary reasons, and there have been uncorroborated reports from students that he was expelled for violence against another student and possession of knives and bullets on school grounds. The last two there are in Florida, a felony. Why was this kid not charged with those crimes? And if convicted, he would have not been able to purchase the weapon used in the crime.
You know what? There's so much information we are still trying to gather on the shooter, the suspect who is in custody. And I'm hoping to get Tim Pagetin, who's actually been on that story, trying to find out more about who this kid is and some of his background. That is an excellent question, Matthew. I do appreciate it. I'm going to try to get these answers as we go through the day. Thank you so much. Let me go in now and take, I'm going to take Jan in Miami. Jan, thanks for calling.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm just wondering if the shooter's mother had the police come out several times because of his behavior and trying to rein in his erratic behavior, violent behavior. The police came to the home several times, and apparently he had also been receiving treatment in different mental health facilities. I'm wondering, why did the police do nothing? Why did anybody at the mental health facilities do anything to step in and prevent this young man from, A, getting a gun? Obama ban on gun sales to mentally ill was lifted by Trump. And also, obviously, mental health care is a real problem. What are we going to do to fix it?
All right, Jan, thank you so much for the call. Thank you for the questions. Let's see if we can find some of those answers. Let me go to David in Jupiter real quickly. David, welcome to the program.
Thank you. All right, good afternoon, and thanks for taking my call.
Yes, what's on your mind?
Well, my wife is a mental health counselor. She's also a diplomat on the board at the Academy of Experts in Traumatic Stress, and spent, before going into private practice, spent 10 years with hospice and crisis management team in Martin County with the Red Cross. And unfortunately, scenes like this happened. And we tried years ago to awaken the school board and awaken this government in the state of Florida, as well as the federal government, to the need of training school counselors, teachers, first responders, and other mental health professionals on the warning signs of the signs of traumatic stress and mental illness in students. And there was always an excuse of, well, you know what, it's great, you have a great program, but the money's not there. And it all boiled down to money, and we would attempt to try to maybe reach them through their purse strings and say, well, if we can save a student, you know, if a student begins to fall off, he has an A student suddenly is making B's, that means there's some trauma going on in their child's life, whether it's the death of a loved one or a death of a dog, it could even be, or marital difficulties in the family, or even worse, you know, physical abuse, so on and so forth. Besides, but a teacher can say the wrong thing to a child, another child can say the wrong thing to that child and send them over the line. And we could prevent this with just programs for training, but there's got to be financing. You've got to be able to pay the counselors. You've got to be able to pay somebody to go out and take their professional time and get out there and reach.
All right. Yeah. Well, you know what? Let me. And I appreciate the call. Thank you for mentioning that, because, you know, I've heard now twice about the issue of mental health and what are we doing about that. This is what we hear a lot after shootings, is the mental health issue. But are we putting the investment into trying to get more mental health counselors? We've talked about this at universities. What about at just high schools? Well, first of all, I do want to just take this moment here, because speaking about mental health, we heard from the president within the last couple of hours. He came forward, and first he talked to the children and just wanted to let children know that they're not forgotten. But he did also talk about mental health issues.
I want to speak now directly to America's children, especially those who feel lost, alone, confused, or even scared. I want you to know that you are never alone, and you never will be. You have people who who care about you, who love you, and who will do anything at all to protect you.
All right, again, that is President Trump earlier, just within the last couple of hours, in a statement on the shooting in Parkland. But here he is also talking about mental health.
We are committed to working with state and local leaders to help secure our schools and tackle the difficult issue of mental health. Later this month, I will be meeting with the nation's governors and attorney generals. We're making our schools and our children safer will be our top priority. It is not enough to simply take actions that make us feel like we are making a difference. We must actually make that difference.
Well, we've heard a lot of politicians talking about trying to do something on the mental health aspects of school shootings, and we will question them as to what exactly they've been doing and what do they plan on doing next, because this is now becoming a typical thing. It's happening over and over again. Before I go to our next guest real quickly, I wanted to go over to our engagement producer, Katie Lepre. We're, again, looking at comments coming up online on Twitter, on Facebook, also people texting us.
Yes. So we had there have been, you know, really strong reactions on social media. People are demanding that we need mandatory safety courses for people's more thorough background checks, stricter negligence penalties. Again, background checks, background checks, background checks.
All right. I want to go over to State Congressman Jared Moskowitz. He represents Parkland. He grew up there. He attended Stoneman Douglas High School himself, and he's joining us now from Parkland. Congressman, look, I heard you earlier this morning. You've been doing the rounds talking about this, and I know that this has been just a very emotional, tragedy for you because of the fact that this is your area. These are your folks. You grew up there. This is your school.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I graduated high school from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas. My kids go to preschool. I found out about this because my wife called me to tell me that the preschool was on lockdown. While my son was being taught how to write his name, my four-year-old, the teacher that was teaching him how to write his name, her daughter was killed. And so this couldn't hit home anymore. It's not possible. You see the stuff on TV. We've become desensitized to it, immune perhaps. And then it comes to your town, and you hope Jesus will be different. This time will be different. Maybe instead of words, we will have actions. Both sides won't get exactly what they want, but maybe we'll find common ground and we'll do something so that we don't have to look more families in the face and tell them that after this tragedy, we did nothing, like we've done historically after so many of these. And so I'm hopeful the president will come to Parkland. I'm hopeful that the governor and the speaker and the president will put our heads together. This isn't about money. We have the money. It's about action. It's about leadership.
Governor Scott said today that the violence needs to stop. He wants to bring this up in Tallahassee. What do you expect is going to happen?
Well, you know, we have 3 weeks left. And if it's on our previous work and our previous history, perhaps nothing. We live in the state of Florida where if a mayor wanted to increase background checks in his city, the laws on the books would allow us to come and arrest that mayor. That's the current law in the state of Florida. But I know these folks. I know them personally. I hope that they are as affected as I am. They are caring individuals. I know they're meeting with these families, they're meeting with these kids, and my hope is that we run to the middle instead of our requisite corners, and we rise to the occasion. How many more times do we have to see kids running out of a place of learning, running out of their geography class, running out of their history class? The most powerful nation on the planet. We have the most powerful military, the best economy, the best people. And yet, we can't keep kids safe in school. This is a collective failure.
You know, Congressman, if I may, let me ask you this. Do you think at any point we have to talk about possibly making schools safer by turning them into some sort of fortress, that perhaps we need to think about tightening security around schools, metal detectors, anything like that?
Well, look, I'll leave that to the experts on how they believe we can harden our facilities. Lord knows, after 9/11, we figured out how to make sure planes don't go into buildings anymore. And I often think to myself, if this crime was committed by a terrorist or an illegal immigrant or someone from a Muslim country, we'd know how to solve this because the country has shown how to do that. But apparently, for some reason, when a student kills other students, we have not figured out how to solve it, how to stop it, how to prevent it. This shooter was a white supremacist. He trained with white supremacists. They were telltale signs. He was kicked out of school for disciplinary action. He's posted himself with guns. He's told people that he wanted to commit harm, and yet he bought the gun legally. He didn't take his parents' gun. He didn't buy it out of the back of a trunk. He passed the background check. Any corporation in America that had that policy and failed like this, the whole department would be gone.
So let me come back to you just one more time here, but just to finish up real quickly is, look, I mean, at the end of the day, you go online and you hear the anger, you see the anger being posed, people posting their anger on social media. What's next? What do we do? What do you do?
Well, listen, I'll do what I've continued to do. I have filed bills. I have filed amendments. I tried to ban guns in churches. The Republicans voted it down. I tried to ban guns in preschools. The Republicans voted it down. I tried to ban people on the no-fly list from buying weapons, and they wouldn't even hear the amendments. And so I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. I know these people, they're good people. We may disagree on how to solve it, but let's at least do something. We've been doing nothing, and we can be consistent at doing nothing. And nothing is clearly not working. And so I'm hopeful that we can look at this, we can learn from this, and we can rise to the occasion and at least tell these parents that we're going to try to solve this, that when they put their kid on a bus or their kid walks to school or takes the bicycle or they drop them off in the morning, that they're bringing them to a place that is safe. We have to be able to guarantee our parents that. We need to stop looking at these issues as Democrats and Republicans. We have to look at these issues as parents.
Again, Representative Jared Moskowitz represents Parkland. Sir, thank you so much. Again, my condolences. I know this has hit you really hard, again, because it is very personal. This is your area. This is your school. This is, your home. But thank you so much for taking the time and sharing with us.
Thank you for talking to me.
All right. Before I take break real quickly, again, you can find us on Facebook at WLRN Sundial and Twitter at WLRN Sundial. Getting some comments in now.
So Heather from Lantana said, "This is not just about mental health. This is about weapons, too. There are plenty of citizens with mental illness that are not violent towards themselves or others. Violence cannot be solved with more violence."
All right. Heather, thank you so much for the comments. You can comment like Heather online. Again, find us on Twitter at WLRN Sundial or Facebook at WLRN Sundial as well. You can text us if you'd like. Text the word sundial to 63735. And the number again is 305-995-1800. You're listening to Sundial from WLRN in Miami and Florida Public Radio. We'll continue this conversation in just a moment. Welcome back to Sundial. This is a special program from Florida Public Radio and a presentation of WLRN Public Media in Miami. And again, I want to welcome listeners from all over the state, listeners in Jacksonville, WJCT in Tampa, WUSF in Fort Pierce, WQCS in Fort Myers, WGCU, and in Gainesville, WUFT. Thank you so much for listening in today. In this special program, we're just looking back on the aftermath of the shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland. Parkland is like any suburb in America, just this little, small, quiet town near Fort Lauderdale. And the school, the community, considered one of the safest in the country. It's just not a place you would imagine something like this would happen. And people kept saying that. We can't imagine this happening here. And yet 17 people are dead and a dozen injured, still waiting to hear on how they're doing. And the suspect is in custody and facing multiple murder charges. We're going to continue to take your calls. And again, if you can't get through, you can always comment. Let us know your thoughts. What is the conversation we should be having today? Not even 24 hours later. And the thing is, this is not new. It has become typical. It's almost become normal. How should we be talking about this? What should we be doing next? And not just talking about it, but what literally should we as voters, as taxpayers, do next? Again, we'd love to hear your thoughts. You can call us at 305-995-1800 or go online. You can find us on Twitter at WLRN Sundial or Facebook. Again, just look up WLRN Sundial or text us the word sundial to 63735. Before I go to my next guest, I want to take a couple of these calls real quick. I want to start with Ed in Vero Beach. Ed, thank you for your patience.
Thank you. I just want to say, you know, give my condolences and my thoughts and prayers to the families who've lost loved ones. You know, and I just want to say that, you know, the conversation shouldn't be about laws because criminals by nature don't obey the law. What we should be talking about is making our schools safer by putting armed guards in classrooms or in hallways or at the front doors because, you know, we put armed guards with armored cars in order to protect the money as they pull into banks. But yet we don't protect our most precious commodity, which is the children of this country. So you know, we always go back to, you know, that the problem is guns. Well, I have yet to hear of a story of a gun being in a classroom with no one attached to it, and it's killed 17 people. You know, it's an unfortunate thing that what happened yesterday, and I don't wish that to happen ever again, and I pray that it doesn't. But, you know, we have to look at what the real issue is gun-free zones are schools. And people who want to kill as many people can go to a gun-free zone and know that they're not going to be confronted with somebody with a gun.
Ed, thank you so much for the call, and I appreciate the comments. And also bringing up that, because I brought it up earlier, the question of maybe we have to beef up security at schools. Is that also possibly an option? I want to turn over now to my next guest joining us. He is Dr. Scott Poland. He's a nationally recognized expert on school crisis, youth violence, suicide intervention, parenting, and, of course, the delivery of psychological services in schools. Dr. Poland, I appreciate your time today.
You're very welcome.
So you've worked in a lot of communities that have undergone trauma. Let's start with this. I mean, what advice do you have for families right now in the Parkland area?
Well, this is a very difficult time for parents and school children throughout South Florida. And it's really important that children have an opportunity to talk about what they've experienced, talk about it, write about it, express emotion through artwork, music, ceremonies. And the key thing for adults to recognize is we must reach out. We must not preach to children. We must listen. And the typical responses that children have to a crisis are sleeping problems, nightmares, worries about the future and their safety, regression academically and behaviorally. And it's really important to keep children in routines. And I do hope that the affected high school will be able to reopen next week, because schools are actually the greatest source of assistance that many children in this country have. And it's very important now to be working with all the staff at the affected high school. And I have provided some consultation this morning to the Broward County schools about some of my experiences and keeping in mind the developmental level of children and schools. Even in the aftermath of this terrible tragedy, schools do remain very safe places in our country.
And you just said they should get back to school as soon as possible. But does that mean they get right back into the everyday, back to class, back to getting ready for tests? Because, I mean, I can't even imagine And I'm lucky I've never been through anything like this, but I can't even imagine, if, especially if you saw the shooter, if you saw any of your friends being shot, that you can just return to that everyday life right away.
Well, you've raised a very good question. And I'm talking about returning to the classroom, the building where you're with your classmates. But I'm also talking about desks in a circle, trained and empowered teachers, accepting all of the volunteer assistance from counselors and mental health professionals, and making sure that every student has a chance to be heard. And most of all, school safety is really an inside job. We've got to get a commitment from the student body first. And I say that because, having followed this for decades, I know that the Secret Service study of school violence found that 81% of the time, the shooters told one or more people exactly what they had planned. So part of the prevention and the solutions for the future involve student commitment and getting them involved in their own safety. If they see something, if something's posted on a social media site, they must come forward.
You know, that's an interesting point, but I want to come back to something the last caller had mentioned about, again, securing the schools. And I wanted your thoughts on this. Do you think schools have to tighten security more, lock more doors, or even basically build a fence around the whole school and keep people out? Maybe have students have to use IDs to get in and out, metal detectors, more police. I mean, do you think that we have to beef up security?
I support a balanced approach, and many school districts, including Broward, already are using many of the things that you mentioned. And I certainly believe that ID badges, double set of doors, meeting and greeting everyone coming into the building, teaching students to alert adults immediately if someone in the building is not supposed to be there. I certainly do support more school resource officers. What you're talking about is called the hardware side of school safety. The software side involves the curriculum, learning to manage anger, making sure every student feels connected to their school, having enough school psychologists and school counselors. I was the president of the National Association of School Psychologists, and present and actually train psychologists and school counselors. The bottom line is we simply do not have enough of them, especially in Florida. Education is much better funded in other parts of the country, and many more mental health services are provided at schools. And then we need to network and make sure that mental health services are available at a low cost and easily for all of our families and all of our students.
All right. Again, talking with Dr. Scott Polin, a nationally recognized expert on school crisis and youth violence. Before I go back to the phones, let me turn over to, again, our engagement editor, Katie Lepre. Folks are posting comments and questions online, again, on Twitter at WLRN Sundial, Facebook, WLRN Sundial as well. Katie.
So there are a few comments that have come in. Anthony D. from Kendall texted us, we need to stop discussing mental health as a problem. It's a diversion from the real issue, which is access to guns. Other countries have mental health issues, but no school shootings. The real difference and problem is easy access to guns. And some questions that came in. Lisa Jeffrey messaged us on Facebook, I'm listening to your program, and I think we must address the elephant in the room. We have a question that needs to be asked and answered. Why do we sell automatic machine gun-style weapons?
All right, again, thank you. And you could post those comments and questions again online, Facebook, or Twitter. Again, you can also text us, the word Sundell, to 63735. And if you can't get through the lines, we're going to go to the phones here in just a moment. You can always, again, find us on social media. My guest, again, is Dr. Scott Polin, nationally recognized expert on school crisis and youth violence and threat assessment. And, you know, we're talking about, you know, how to best protect our schools. This is not the first, and it won't be the last. And we've had already more than a dozen school shootings this year. We're not even in March nationwide. So we're just trying to figure out what the next step is going to be. Let me go over to the phones real quickly. I've got David in Jupiter who's been waiting. David, I appreciate your patience. Welcome to the program. Do I have David there? I think I lost David. My apologies. I'm going to go over to Jeff, who has been waiting. Jeff is in Jupiter. Jeff. Nope, I think I've lost him as well. I apologize about that. We'll get to the phones in just a moment. Dr. Poland, you know, the other thing, too, is because you had mentioned here's a young man, the suspect, again, who had been posting information on social media, been posting pictures on Instagram of himself with many different guns. There was also a report that he had been in a chat room at one point, and in that chat room had actually said that I want to become a professional school shooter. When you see and hear those kind of things, should you mention something? Then again, it's probably said a lot. Lots of people post pictures with guns. I mean, at what point do you say this could be a threat?
Well, I think we have to look carefully at why is it that young people don't come forward. And at the College of Psychology at Nova Southeastern University, we have many, many training and outreach programs. But the literature and kids themselves will say something like this: I didn't think it could happen. I didn't want to get involved. I feared retaliation. I've been conditioned not to tell. And when we started talking about families, it's really important that families sit around the kitchen table and adults really know what's going on in their children's lives. And we prepare them and give them information about what to do if somebody you know is talking homicide or somebody is talking suicide, and the importance of alerting adults and especially our law enforcement authorities. It's pretty frustrating when these events keep happening, and there is no simple answer to this. So it's not that it's mental health that is needed and it's changed the culture about guns. Frankly, I support both of those. And in the reality of our world today, does anybody really need an automatic weapon? But at the same time, if we would really make mental health services available, and we need to make sure that every student is feeling connected to his school, and if we have a student that can't be in a particular school right now, well, then we need to get more extensive services and find the support they need, and what is it that will help us connect with them so that they can be a productive member of our society.
Scott Poland, Dr. Poland, do you get the sense in any of your research or in folks that you've talked to that parents are watching and following their kids on social media to see what they're doing?
No, I do not think they are. I'm afraid most parents have let their kid be the technology guru. Many kids have been given way too much privacy. And, you know, we're in this screen age, and their estimates are that teenagers spend as much as 7 hours a day on their screens. And I'm a big believer in the desktop. The desktop's on the kitchen counter. I'm a big believer that you say to your child, it's 10 o'clock now. Give me all your technology devices. You need to get a good night's sleep. We need to know their passwords. We need to have the climate when they would talk to us. And thankfully, in our country, we've had a number of what I would call near misses, where the kid does get the message. They do see something posted, and they go to a mom or dad, and they get the authorities involved. Unfortunately, this was a tremendous tragedy, but we have to learn from this and all of the other tragic school shootings, and we have to do better. And it's going to take a concerted effort. It is going to take our school leaders and especially our politicians, and there's a multitude of things that need to be changed. It's not as simple as one thing.
All right, I want to go over to the phones real quickly. I'm going to start with Wyatt in West Palm Beach. Wyatt, do I have you there? All right, I'm trying to get Wyatt in on the line. Let's see if he's there. Wyatt, can you hear me? All right, I'm not getting Wyatt. I'm having a little bit of issue with the phone, so I'll see if I can get that resolved at some point soon. My apologies. Again, you can also post your comments or questions online. Find us on Facebook, WLRN Sundial, or, again, on Twitter, again, at WLRN Sundial. Back over to Katie Lepre, our engagement editor, who is tracking that.
Thanks, Louis. So we just got a text from a psychotherapist named Peter Willig, who works with the National Alliance for Grieving Children, and he says, quote, "It's time to evolve. Socially, we spend too much time reacting by trying to find isolated causes and solutions for tragedy. Yes, we need gun control. Yes, we need mental health resources. We also need to move towards being a more empathetic and compassionate society."
All right, again, you can post your comments online, Twitter or Facebook. We're reading those off. We'd like to hear from you, and I'm trying to get the phone system back up here. I know a lot of you are waiting. I want to get you up there. I want to hear what you have to say. Again, I'm talking with Dr. Scott Poland. He is a member of the National Emergency Assistance Team for the National Association of School Psychologists, and he serves as the Prevention Director for the American Association of Suicidology. You know what? In the last minute that I have, Dr. Poland, you worked in the crisis response after the Columbine shooting, which was over 20 years ago now, I believe. Would you have ever expected that events like that would just become commonplace?
You raise an excellent question, and they have become far too commonplace. And in my class last week at Nova, I had students read my first of four congressional testimonies. It was 1999, and basically they looked at it and said, "You could have written this last week." And unfortunately, not enough has been done. And I have one very concrete recommendation for Florida. Other states, such as Colorado and Texas, have state school safety centers, which provide excellent training, resources, and dialogue with schools. And unfortunately, Florida has not funded such a center. And if we're looking for a concrete step after this tragedy, that would be something to develop so that we have the best practices, training, and resources available to all Florida educators.
All right. Again, Dr. Scott Poland, member of the National Emergency Assistance Team for the National Association of School Psychologists, a nationally recognized expert on school crises like this. Dr. Poland, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time today.
You're very welcome.
And again, this special program of Sundial, we are talking in the aftermath of the shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School yesterday, where 17 people were killed and another dozen injured. We're going to continue this conversation and get to your phone calls here in just a moment. Again, on Sundial, I'm Luis Hernandez. Welcome back to Sundial, a special program from Florida Public Radio and a presentation of WLRN Public Media in Miami. And again, I want to welcome listeners in Jacksonville, Tampa, Fort Pierce, Fort Myers, and Gainesville. And again, this special program, we're looking at the aftermath of the shooting in Parkland, Florida, here in Broward County in South Florida. 17 people dead, another injured, 12 students injured, 12 people injured, and we're waiting to hear on their conditions. And again, the suspect is in custody and facing multiple murder charges. Before I go to my next guest, let me turn back over to our engagement editor, Katie Lepre. And again, some of you are posting your comments and questions on Facebook and Twitter.
And we really, really appreciate it. So Julie Rios messaged us on Facebook and said, "As long as it is legal for people to own weapons of mass execution, there will be loopholes that can be exploited and mass executions will continue to happen. Someone in the household or a friend legally purchased the weapon. The perpetrator had been arrested, but not yet convicted. We have to learn." One other person, Philip Denfeld, said, "If we really want to make changes to make our country, our schools, our children safe, we need to start with the lawmakers."
All right. Thank you so much, Katie. All right. I want to turn over now to my next guest. Joining us is Lisa Maxwell. Lisa Maxwell is head of the Broward Principals and Assistant Principals Association. Lisa, thank you so much for joining us today. First of all, real quickly, just tell us a little bit about this organization.
Well, our mission is to be a voice for principals and assistant principals in Broward County. And so we interface with the school district and with state and local community leaders, and we're effectively, as an organization, the voice for principals and assistant principals in Broward.
All right. So, I mean, where were you when this was happening yesterday? Who called you?
I started receiving text messages and phone calls about 6 minutes into the event, the shooting, when the shooting started. So I was able to quickly access through the internet the events as they started to unfold. So it was very quickly.
And so when that happens, I mean, were you on the scene? Did you go to the scene? Somebody from the association was there.
Well, no, I did not go to the scene. Principals and assistant principals are there on campus. They're handling the scene. It's difficult to understand because we're a very large county. We educate almost 250,000 kids every day. And we're kind of this conglomeration of different cities within the county. But ultimately, we're a very small community. And so principals from across the district are seeing this as it's unfolding. They're reaching out because people don't know the extent to which something like this is happening and whether other campuses could be impacted or other schools could be facing something similar. People don't know. And so the need to communicate on an immediate basis is vital.
So you've been hearing from the principals, from a lot of principals, really, not just in this area, but from around the country. I mean, what have they been telling you and asking you?
Well, the principals that I represent, their biggest concern, and please understand that this crisis, we're still in this crisis right now. In about 35 minutes, 252 schools are about to go into dismissal. So every principal, every assistant principal, every campus monitor, everyone in charge of safety and security right now is on high alert. So this is, you know, people are calling to see, tell me I did this, this, and this. Is there anything I'm missing? Is there anything else you can think of that I can be doing, communicating with, et cetera? There's a litany of things that go into effectively managing a crisis on this scale. So that's what's going on.
Now, the students obviously are not at the school today, likely for the rest of the week. When a situation like this happens, they get back into school. What do you tell the principals, you know, the things they need to be doing to help the kids to get back into an everyday normal life?
Well, the kids at Stoneman are not in school today.
No.
Are in schools, and I can't emphasize this enough. Every child in this district has felt this impact to one degree or another, but for the most part, on an extreme basis. Every parent in this community is experiencing this on an extreme basis. And so if you're not here at Ground Zero, very difficult to understand how people are feeling and experiencing this. And so having to handle that, having to manage the questions, the concerns, is my kid safe today to go to school? And you magnify that by 250,000 kids. That is an epic event to try and manage today. So that's what's going on in the community right now.
And also, real quickly, too, because it is a sick irony, is that just not even a week ago, barely a week ago, at least here in Miami-Dade County, there was a shooter training, a shooter response training in the school district. And so I wonder, you know, is like how much time is spent in preparing educators and principals on how to run these drills and make sure that the students and everybody on staff is prepared for something like this?
There's a tremendous amount of training that is ongoing and continuous. Stoneman Douglas was evidently scheduled to have an active shooter training in the next several weeks. So every school in the district goes through this training, and it's, as I said, it's ongoing. Every school has a safety plan, every school, when something like this happens, for example, today, every high school is on yellow alert. And there are very specific protocols about how things happen on that campus when these different levels are reached or called for. So there's a significant amount of training and involvement. The local police departments are amazing. They're doing sweeps of the schools today, and that's throughout the county. And so the response is enormous.
And just real quickly, I mean, have you spoken with the principal at Stoneman Douglas?
I've communicated with him via email, and you know, people are in shock, and you know, I'm appreciative, and I understand that people want to talk about kind of the policy issues, but please understand that there literally are people still in shock. They are experiencing this tragedy in a crisis manner. And doing everything they can, especially the principals and the assistant principals right now, are doing everything they can to reassure, calm, and to enforce safety and security practices and procedures at all of our schools. So that's what I'm dealing with. That's what they're dealing with today. And that's where our focus is.
Again, Lisa Maxwell, head of the Broward Principals and Assistant Principals Association. Lisa, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
All right. You know, before we finish up here real quickly, some of you have been posting your comments, your questions on Facebook and or Twitter. Katie Lepre, again, our engagement editor, getting some of those messages. Right now, Katie, what are people asking?
So a lot of comments and questions. First, a couple of comments. Kim Duncan Skimmer says, I am sick to death of hearing thoughts and prayers from our politicians. That is the easy way out, and it does nothing except appease the guilty conscience of those doing nothing. We need better gun regulations in this country. I also very quickly have an update from our WLRN health reporter, Sammy Mack. All of the 7 patients transported to the Broward Health Medical Center were kids. The oldest was 17. One has been discharged and the other 6 have been upgraded to fair condition. Dr. Benny Menendez, who oversees the ER, says some of the patients had multiple gunshot wounds, including bullet wounds to the chest and groin. There is no indication that anyone has suffered paralysis or will require amputation, which is frequently the outcome of injuries from high power assault rifles. This is, again, initial information, and things are like could change.
All right. Again, you can post your comments, your questions. You can find us on Facebook. Look up WLRN Sundial. Also, Twitter at WLRN Sundial. You can also text us the word Sundial to 63735. We'd love to hear from you, your thoughts on what the conversation should be next. Well, that is the program for today, this special program from Florida Public Radio. It's been a presentation of WLRN Public Media in Miami. Sundial's produced by WLRN Public Media and Maeve McGoran. Polly Landis is our booking producer. Our engagement editor, as you've been hearing, is Katie Lepre. Jason Zapka is our technical director. WLRN's program director is Peter Meritz. He was also our call screener today. And some of the music that you heard today is from the local group Palo. You can find them online, gopalo.com. And again, I just, you know, this special program, we were focused on the aftermath of the shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. Again, a small suburb near Fort Lauderdale, Florida. 17 confirmed dead. A dozen students or more injured, and we're still awaiting their condition to see how they're doing. And we've got reporters out all about that we're going to be talking to in the second hour of this special Sundial program. We're going to be returning back to just our regular folks here in South Florida, because we've been speaking with folks all over the state today. And again, I want to thank you so much for tuning in and listening, folks at WJCT in Jacksonville. Folks at WUSF in Tampa, WQCS in Fort Pierce, WGCU in Fort Myers, and WUFT in Gainesville. Thank you so much for listening and tuning in. You can keep listening to the second hour of this program online at WLRN.org. Again, I'm Luis Hernandez. This special program from Florida Public Radio has been a presentation of WLRN Public Media in Miami. Thanks again for listening.